you have what is called an ordaining presbytery. This is a group of men who are either ordained ministers or ordained active and inactive deacons in the church. We sent out a letter to all of our active and inactive deacons. We sent out letters and phone calls as well to friends of ours in the ministry. And we had a beautiful time yesterday morning in our fellowship hall of examining Daniel, because that is required, and we ask of that. Churches do when we come to a time of ordination. Typically called the presbytery. Henry Lee, who is the chairman of our deacons, also served as the chairman of that presbytery yesterday. And while the church does not vote on whether or not we ordain or not ordain Daniel, that was done yesterday in the presbytery, simply for the minutes of the church and also for your information. We have a recommendation of the presbytery, and I want you to listen to our chairman of deacons and our chairman of the presbytery, Henry Lee. Mr. Henry.
Thank you. The ordination council and the presbytery and the committee of deacons of Olive Springs Baptist Church have voted unanimously to support Brother Daniel Reyes in his call to the ministry by having Olive Springs Baptist Church ordain Brother Daniel to the gospel ministry this 19th day of June 2011. We come together this morning to carry out this ordination as an outward sign of our recommendation and our commitment.
Amen. And folks, would you express your encouragement to that recommendation to this man in ordaining him? Let me tell you, yes, very much so. Yeah. We've asked Matthew to come and in his relationship with Daniel to be able to share a charge to the candidate, because that's what Daniel is at this moment. He is a candidate for the gospel ministry. And we have this privilege to come and listen to Brother Matthew as he issues a special charge to Brother Daniel in the Dell.
I printed out some notes just for you, Daniel, for you to follow along, because this is your charge. And as I begin, I just want to say, man, this is an awesome sight here this morning. It's a beautiful sight to see this many people here to support Daniel and see both of our services together. And in Revelation, it talks about around the throne of God, a representative from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. And this morning, to me, is a glimpse of heaven with everybody here. I just thank you for everyone coming this morning. And thank you for your support in Daniel. If you have your copy of God's Word with you, turn to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. And while this is a charge to Daniel, this is also for you as well, I believe. It's for all of us to make sure that we are all accountable to God. Because I believe God gives us all spheres of influence. But this passage specifically speaks to shepherds. And in particular, at this moment of time, the shepherds of Israel and how they had not done their job. And this passage talks about what a bad shepherd looks like and how God would send His shepherd, Jesus Christ, to gather His flock one day. And I believe we can take that in account for us this morning and look at that and model ourselves what God did in through Christ. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 16. The word of the Lord came to me. This is Ezekiel speaking. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds. Thus says the Lord God, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered, they wandered over the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there is no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding of the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have wandered and scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring them back, the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. And in 22, he says, I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. And he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. The bad shepherds of Israel, there was nine characteristics of them. I'm just going to read them to you. They fed themselves. They took the best for themselves. They didn't strengthen the weak. The sick were not healed. The injured were not bound up. The strayed were not brought back. The lost were not sought. They ruled with force and harshness. And their own sheep were food for wild beasts. That is the picture of bad shepherds. And then the Lord God says he would come in and bring his servant, Jesus, to model for us under shepherds to be a shepherd to the flock. And Daniel, this morning, God has set you aside to be a shepherd of a flock. And I believe that God has set out a model in Ezekiel 34 as Christ is our ultimate example, that we can model ourselves after the example of Christ that God set up. Here are those characteristics that God gives for good shepherds. Number one, they feed his sheep. And how do they feed his sheep? By the word of God. Number two, they don't leave others wanting. They don't give special privileges to others. They don't look partially on one. They don't favor one over the other. They see all as equal at the foot of the cross. Number three, they strengthen the weak. There are going to be many weak people that come into your life in your ministry. And God will empower you and equip you to help strengthen them through his power. As Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. If you're a believer this morning, you have the power of the resurrection. The same power that raised Christ from the dead. We have that power inside of us. Number four, they heal the sick. And this is not a physical healing necessarily, but the ultimate healing is sickness of sin. And we have the remedy of that, the salvation of Christ. We know, but by faith alone and through his grace, salvation alone is only made possible through Christ. As it says in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let that be your footing, Daniel, in your ministry. No, like I told the youth last week, it's not just a matter of ministry. And I'm not saying just ministers, but people that are called by God, any Christian, our task is so important. And it's a matter of life and death. Even more important than doctors because this is a matter of eternal life and eternal death. You can strengthen the weak. You can heal the sick. Number five, bind up the injured. There are going to be many people that come your way that are emotionally injured. Evil is prevalent through this world, and only the cross of Christ can give comfort. And I pray that you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you so He can give you the words to speak to the people to comfort them and to walk alongside them in the dark days. Number six, He brings back the strayed. These are the sheep that are already counted as sheep, but for some reason or another, they've gone away. God calls you as a minister of the gospel to go look for those sheep. Like the passage in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Leave the 99 behind and go search for the one to bring back that one back to the 99. Number 7, He seeks out the lost. He is an evangelist. And we've seen in your life, Daniel, that you're already an evangelist. But always remember that that's one of the duties that God calls us to seek out the lost. And we know as people in this community and in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our jobs, there are many lost people. And Daniel, not only are you to seek out the lost yourself, but you are to equip others to seek the lost as well. Number 8, He leads with grace and justice. Conversely, the bad shepherds ruled with force and harshness. But you lead with grace and justice because you know it is only by God's grace that we're called. And we are His workmanship to do good works. Number 9, judge the wild beasts. Judge the wild beasts. If there are wild beasts in your flock that are harming your sheep, who are God's sheep first, and your sheep to be looked after on this earth, judge them. Judge them by God's word. Luke 19:10 says, "The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." And I pray you would model your ministry after that as well. Two verses I share with the youth Wednesday night I want to share to you in closing. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 through 14. Be alert. Stand firm in the faith. Be strong and courageous. And let all your actions be done in love.
Thank you, Matthew. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, today we are thankful for your faithfulness. We are thankful, Lord, that you have brought Daniel to this place, both physically and spiritually and mentally. Thank you, Lord, that you've brought him through the hard times. Thank you, Lord, that you've called him to be your servant. Lord, thank you that the promise that you gave that you would never leave us nor forsake us is so evident right now. So, Lord, we just thank you for Daniel and his family and pray your blessings upon them. And as we prepare now, Lord, to receive our offerings today. Father, let us give those offerings. Father, let us give them with a giving heart, with a heart of love. Lord, let us understand today that as we give, we worship in our giving. So, Lord, have your way with everything that's done, that it may all honor and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Daniel, if trouble comes knocking at your door, don't be afraid. It's not like before. Don't you give in. Don't let it bring you down. You don't have to worry anymore. Jesus said there would be times of tribulation. But then he said, I have overcome. Brothers and sisters, well, now's the time to stand. Don't you know that the battles are all won? We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're getting stronger every day. There's no reason for you to go astray. Don't be leaning now to your own understanding. Lean on Him and we'll all say, in this life, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been made more than in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been made more than conquerors.
Verses of Scripture I want to share with all of our dads here very briefly. And as I share them with all our dads, I share them with Daniel. Because let me say something to you folks. I could have chosen 1 Timothy chapter 3 and shared with you about the requirements of the overseer, the bishop, or the minister. But I looked throughout Scripture and it didn't take me about 2 seconds for God to open my heart and show me the Scripture I am convinced that I needed to use for our dads and for this man right down here. It's found in the first Psalm. Will you open your Bible to that? The first 3 verses. Now, if these 3 verses, first of all, do not describe the man that we are ordaining this morning, I don't know what does. They are powerful words from the pen of David for all our fathers and all our men. And they're powerful words for Daniel. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the very seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does, he shall prosper. The word blessed there is used twice in the Hebrew. There are actually two words for blessed. One is ashar. And that happens to be the word here. It's a human word that means the recipient of the blessing of God. And then there's another word, barak in Hebrew, which refers only to God blessing man. That's not the word used here. The Bible says ashar, literally, that you and I, as we live godly lives, will be blessed, blessed. Now, does that mean God's going to take your $50 bill and turn it into a $5,000 bill? No. It means God's going to give you peace in the midst of the storm. It means that you're going to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, our Lord, without a doubt. But Daniel, I want to share with you, my brother, and to all of our dads this morning, there are three things about a godly man. It's in your outline. I just want you to write these words down and don't ever, ever forget them. And those three things begin with three prohibitions that David said in the Psalm. And the first prohibition for the godly man is that he has to have no part of ungodliness. The godly man will refuse secular philosophies and humanistic values. He'll refuse the worldview that centers on man and himself. He has no part of ungodliness. And dads, Daniel, resist the lure of carnality. Carnality is a Greek word that means flesh. It means living as a believer in this world, but acting like an unbeliever. It means trying not to be different from this world. When the Bible says to me and you, come out from among them and be separate. Resist the lure of the world, of carnality. Don't compromise your faith. Dads, there is coming a time in the United States of America and in the evangelical church that our men are going to have to stand up like never before in this country. Women, thank you. You outnumber us 5-1 in your leadership. And guys, we're going to have to take a stand. Every man in this house. And we're going to have to do that like we've never done before. And Daniel, God's calling you, my brother, to take that stand as a minister. It'll be a stand that people sometime won't like. It'll be a stand that puts you on the attack of Satan, because he'll come after you with everything you've got. But you stand firm. You stand firm. Dads, you stand firm. You are more than conquerors. And the third prohibition, the Bible says, do not associate with scoffers. The word scoffer in the Hebrew is pronounced loots, L-O-O-T-S. And it actually means to make a mouth at. What, preacher, do you mean? Have you ever been next to somebody and they're talking and all of a sudden just to you they whisper, you won't believe what they just said. You ever heard that? That's being a loot. That's being a scoffer. You won't believe. You can't. That's what the Bible says. Don't associate with people that are double-tongued, that are scoffers, that bring people down. The Bible says, when it says don't associate, the Hebrew means literally take off and hightail it the other way. And then there are two actions I want you to take, Daniel and men. There are two actions you need to take. Three prohibitions, two actions. The first action is delight in the law of the Lord, but he delights in the law. The law is the word Torah. You may be familiar with that word. It means the first five books of the Bible. To delight in God's law. I remind you, the Lord Jesus came not to destroy that law, but to fulfill it. Delight is a word in the Hebrew that is pronounced with kind of a guttural sound. And it would take a strong Jewish person who knows how to pronounce the Hebrew to adequately pronounce this word. But it's a guttural kafetz. Kafetz. We would just say kafetz in Southern English. It means love. It means take delight in. It's a word used that when you extremely love. So it's a word used to fall in love with someone. I challenge you all. Go home, call your boyfriend or girlfriend, talk to your spouse, and the night before you go to bed, tell them that you just coffate them. Well, they're either going to slap you or hug you, one of the two. But it means you've fallen in love. Hey, guys, Daniel, you already have, my brother. I see it all over you. Fall in love with God's Word. Delight in it day and night. You ought to heard this man sharing with us about his own work and his own testimony and his own loving the Lord Jesus in his time alone with the Lord. Wow. The second action you got to take, the Bible says literally here in the Scripture, but his delight is in the law of the Lord and he meditates on it day and night. Write the word prayer under B. Because dads, if we've ever need to become praying fathers, it's today. Daniel, if we've ever needed to become a praying minister, it's today. When the preachers behind the pulpits, evangelical pulpits of our country, decide that they're going to take prayer more seriously than anything they do as they study the Word of God, revival is going to take place in our churches. Because we're going to do like the New Testament church said to do. We're going to give the distribution of the saints and the ministry to the deacons, and the pastor is going to get on his face before God like never before, and he's going to go to prayer, and God's going to anoint that pastor like you've never seen, and revival is going to break out in our churches. But until that happens, it won't happen. Our convention this past week called on pastors to get on their face before God for our people. Because we agreed that perhaps 70 to 80% of the people that fill our pews Sunday after Sunday after Sunday have no clue what it actually means to serve Jesus. So many are taking a rest, Daniel. So many are just relaxing. I challenge you, my brother, as Matthew has, as we have, and dads, I challenge you, it's time to get off our seats. It's time to get to prayer, men, like we've never prayed before. The greatest words that you will ever hear from your congregation as a pastor are these: Pastor, I'm praying for you. I thank God for you folks. I thank God for the comments. The greatest comment you can tell me is, Pastor, I'm praying for you. There's one result, and I close with this. Bible says you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever you do shall prosper. Again, folks, that does not mean God's going to change a $5 bill to a $100 bill. But God says that whatever you do will be blessed of God. You are a godly man. You will be doing what God says. And what is that God? It's a God strengthen. Now write this hyphenated word down there. I printed it for you. Fruit-bearing disciple. You can be a disciple of Jesus Christ, but I'm talking about being a fruit-bearing disciple. The Bible says you will know them by their fruits. And the Lord is going to plant you, my brother, and all you men, as you love Jesus, by the streams of living water. Did you know a sheep will not go by running water? They only have to have still water, and they have to be led to that still water. But running water was always a symbol of life. And for the godly man, our Lord says that he's going to give you living water. And I agree with what we've sung, what we've said, what Matthew has shared together with you, Daniel, and to our whole congregation. Men, be godly men. Be godly men. We come to a time, and in just a minute, before we do that, I'm going to ask our Hispanic pastor, Brother Freddie Ottoban, to come, and he's going to pray our ordination prayer. And when Freddie finishes, I want us to have a time of laying on of hands of Daniel and Adela as we come to this important part of this service. Daniel, you come, my brother. And Adela, would you sit beside him right here? And Freddie is going to come and in just a minute in our prayer. And then after he prays, here's what I'd like you to do. The laying on of hands was always a blessing. It's always a blessing and an encouragement. It's a lifting up. But folks, let me say something to you. We are ordaining this man in the body of Christ today. We are not ordaining Adela. But if you think that she is not an integral part of what happens to this man's life, you miss the mark. Ordained men of God must have godly helpmates that work alongside them and share with them. I'm fortunate to have one. Connie is my best critic. She can get in the car on Sunday morning on the way home from church and say, Randy, that sermon stunk. It was too long. Get to the point. She does. But then she can say, only God could have said what you said this morning. She is my best critic and my best encourager, a helpmate. Because living with a pastor, living with a minister, I'm telling you, for you wives, it's got to be the hardest life on the face of the earth. Because they have to put up with all of our complaints. You don't hear that side of me. She does. And I thank God for a helpmate that God has given me. God has put you two together for that very reason. And God knew this long before we ever got to this point. This may come as a surprise to you, my brother, even after all these years. But to stand at this place and be able to know that you have a helpmate, you have someone that will come right alongside of you and be there with you, is the greatest gift God could ever give you. And Adela, it's the greatest gift God could ever give you as well. Freddie, my brother, I want you to pray for us. And after we do, he does, I want our deacons, and we'll do something different this morning. I want, if you're a wife of one of our deacons and you feel comfortable, I want you to come as well and you lay hands on Adela. You pray for her, ladies, as the wife of a minister, and pray for her as God leads her. Would you do that? And our men will lay hands on Daniel. And I want you to make your prayers very short. If we stay long, it could be a long part of our service. But and then after our deacons, other ministers in our congregation, in addition to our ministers, other deacons from other churches, of evangelical churches, of Southern Baptist churches, we would love for you to come and participate as well in the laying on of hands. And then our congregation here, male and female, if any of you all would desire to come and lay hands on these two, I want you to come and follow them in a very brief time of prayer and laying on of hands. You are more than welcome to do that. I hope I made that very clear. First, our deacons, both active and inactive, along with our ministers and any of their wives who would like to come and pray for Adela. And then any other deacons and ordained men in our congregation, please join us with the ordained men at that moment. And then after that, any of you in our congregation that would like to come and simply lay hands on them and pray very briefly, as husband and wife, to pray for both of them, I want you to feel free to come as well. And let's make this a very high and holy moment of prayer and encouragement for Daniel and Adela. Brother Freddie,
let's pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in what you have done in the life of our brother Daniel Reyes, ordained today to the ministry. Lord, we pray that you use him beyond his expectations. We know that you are able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Today we thank you for his family, his wife and his children, his loved ones, his friends, his teachers and mentors, godly men who have built into his life, preparing him for the occasion to which you are calling him. Father, as a good shepherd, go before him. Lead Brother Daniel in a plain path to do your will and to do it courageously. Yes. Keep him from sin and humble him under your mighty hand. Use him to extend and enrich the body of Christ. Your word tells us that when you call us to do anything, you will always provide the resources needed. And we give you thank you for your promise in the ministry of our brother Daniel. Keep him on his knees and your word. Give him the passion of our Savior, who at the end of his life commanded his disciples, go therefore and make disciples. Lord, we pray that you, all of us in this room, remember that you gave us a purpose in life and you call us to follow you and to serve you. Lead us to bring honor and glory to your name in everything that we do for all our days. We pray in the holy name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
To our ministers and your wives, would you all come and let's lay hands on these two first. Deacons, will you join us and your wives, and then any who would like to follow, please come and join us as well as we come to this very important, serious moment of the laying on of hands as we ordain Daniel to the ministry.